Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, though, pressure is mounting on the UK's Deputy Prime Minister, Angela Rayner, after she admitted she should have paid more stamp duty on a flat she bought in Hove in East Sussex earlier in the year. An investigation by the Independent Advisor on Ministerial Standards is due to release the report on the matter later today. Gabriel Pogrund is Whitehall editor for the Sunday Times and he joins me on the line. Gabriel, thank you for being with us. I think everybody is waiting for this report to emerge. It's been put together very quickly, but you are expecting to see it today, are you?
That seems to be the word on the street in Westminster. I think that this is one of those which Starmer did not need hanging over him for any longer than the minimum period of time in which his advisor could complete this report. So, yes, I think we will see white smoke or whatever the opposite is today.
Listen, it's complicated what has happened. Can you tell us about it? Take us through how we have gotten to this point.
Well, I can try, but as you say, it's complex and it relates to questions of law and in particular the law concerning tax and trusts. So I'll try begin now. Earlier...
That seems to be a line just as Gabriel was embarking on his complicated explanation of what has happened in the situation with Angela Rayner. It's all got to do with stamp duty on this second home that she has purchased. But her first home, which she bought with her husband in Manchester in 2016, she had put that into a trust for the benefit of her child who has disabilities. Gabriel, I understand you're back with us. I was beginning to try to explain this, but it is about a second home that Angela Rayner has bought. She got reduced stamp duty, or she paid reduced stamp duty on that because she believed it was her primary residence, or that's how she was representing it. Not so, though, according to the rules. Isn't that right?
That's right. Forgive me for that. So sorry to have cut out, but
right.
I'm back, and we'll attempt to inject some clarity into the conversation. As you say, the long story short is that Rayner avoided a £40,000 tax liability, which would have arisen had she described this property she purchased as a second home to HMRC, the UK tax authorities. But she didn't, because she says she, in good faith, made a mistake. And that mistake concerned a property which is in her constituency of Ashton-under-Lyme, and which she ceased to own as of this year, but which her children have or her child has a stake in. Her child's stake is held by a trust, which, according to UK tax law, confers the status of owner upon the parent. So in the eyes of the UK tax system, she actually did have a stake in two properties. The real question is less should Angela Rayner have been literate in these at times bewilderingly complicated matters, but rather did she give all the relevant information to those who she employed to get to the right answer? There's been a lot of questions about whether she actually did retain appropriate advice or whether she went to a two-bit high street conveyancer who actually yesterday said they did advise her, but that they would never have provided tax advice. They just helped her complete the HMRC tax calculator.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue it all hangs on that, doesn't it? Like, when she said, I took advice and I followed that advice, she really needs to be able to produce that advice so that people accept that version of this story, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's even as I heard myself speak a few moments ago, it is easy to lose one's moorings in this conversation. The of the essence is the fact that Rayner was the sleaze buster in chief when Labour in opposition. She was a sort of one woman prosecutorial team calling out Tory tax avoidance and transgressions of all varieties, and she not infrequently wasted no time in calling for Tory ministers to go, often before investigations of this variety had been completed. She did the same in connection with the now former, the long former Tory Chancellor Nadeem Zahawi in relation to his underpayment of tax. So the real problem here, you know, if we're trying to explain why this matters, is that you have a deputy PM who has been politically foundational to this Starmer project, who's an important link with the left of the party, who roots it in its trade union tradition, who has been important for Starmer on matters from welfare reform to Israel-Palestine, and whose fate now lies in the balance because of the fact that, having originally claimed to the media that this was all much to do about nothing and it was smears from her usual adversaries, she now concedes she did underpay tax. And what we're going to learn today is why that was and what actually happened and who knew what when.
So the report goes to Keir Starmer today, we expect, from this independent advisor on ministerial standards. So it's all up to him, isn't it? It's all up to Keir Starmer what he decides to do.
Yes, that's more or less right. I mean, you know, he will operate within the guardrails of whatever his advisor, a lawyer by the name of Laurie Magnus, concludes. So, you know, in the event that Magnus says it really was the case that, you know, Rayner was absolutely fulsome and exhaustive in what she told her legal advisors, and it's a great pity that they gave her the wrong advice, then it looks like there may be some kind of off-ramp. You know, she's got arrows in her back. It's going to be difficult for her to recover her political career. But there is a world you can see in which, if she did comply with, you know, maximum disclosure requirements, if she gave all the information to her tax advisors / lawyers, then you can see a way out. Mm-hmm. Anything north of that, or, you know, anything which for even a moment suggests she didn't divulge the full facts, I think Starmer will probably have to say sorry but farewell, or let Angela Rayner preempt that and resign herself.
Yeah, and she's very useful to Keir Starmer, isn't she? Because she represents some of the supporters of Labour, which, you know, his front bench in the main struggle to get to. So for him, it's really important to have Angela Rayner there with her working class roots. She is somebody who has brought a contingent to Labour that they mightn't otherwise have managed to get on side.
Yes, and also there are all sorts of downstream consequences of her stepping down. What does stepping down mean? She's currently Deputy Prime Minister, she's Housing Secretary, but also she's the elected Deputy Leader of the Labour Party, which, not to subject people to too much detail about the Labour Party constitution, but is one of two direct could have to resign from that. She was elected alongside Starmer. They have a mandate from the same contest in the same year, 2020. So if she were to resign as deputy leader of the party, that would create a vacancy. And that would be a fascinating exercise, because it's wholly plausible that a candidate far to the left of either Rayner or Starmer would run in that contest. And, you know, the government is tacking towards the right in an attempt to stem the electoral bleed to Nigel Farage's Reform Party. But on the left, you know, you've got the Green Party, you've got Jeremy Corbyn, you've got pro-Palestine independents all waiting in the wings. And if there was to be a vacancy at the top of the party, it would be a rerun of, you know, the Tony Benn, Dennis Healey. I mean, there have been numerous deputy leadership contests in Labour's story, which have ended up symbolising that sort of permanent divide within the party between the radical left and those who believe that accommodation with capitalism and centrist politics is the way forward.
And listen, you mentioned the Reform Party, Nigel Farage's party, which is doing so well in the polls at the moment. I mean, they have a double-digit poll lead over both the Tories and Labour, and they have this high-profile defection now from the Tories in the form of Nadine Dorries. Is that an important win for them?
I don't know. It's interesting that the Reform UK are happy to take so many former Conservatives, into the party, given that their whole position is that they're repudiating not just Labour but all establishment politics. Clearly, though, they're quite happy to do anything which adds to the existing sense that they are on the march and they're in the insurgency, and that the Tories are dead as a dodo, which, you know, that no doubt is something that one would conclude looking at Nadine Dorries, Boris Johnson's chief cheerleader, quitting the party altogether.
Well, we'll find out plenty more about that over the weekend when they have their conference. That's the Reform Party. Gabriel, thank you so much for your time. Gabriel Pogron there, who's Whitehall editor for the Sunday Times. Now, the gathering is going to be coming up a little bit later on in the programme to debate all the big news of the week. Next, though, how have rising prices affected what you're seeing on your menus in restaurants and coffee shops? We're going to talk to a hotel owner and a baker after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.